just a weird thing. Anyhow, it's good to be back today. So last Sunday I wasn't here, and so thank you so much, Pastor John, and everybody for filling in and helping out. I was able to go down to the Nanticoke and install a new pastor down there, Pastor Mo Gregory. We were able to install her last Sunday, and it was tremendous, phenomenal to be able to do that for her. She's working on her credentials. She's did children's ministry for years at the Faith Assembly in Hazleton, and her and her husband, she's down there. She's the pastor. Her husband's helping her, and they have a great team of people at the Nanticoke Church, and they're going to be doing a great job. So thank you for letting me go and do that last week. And aren't you glad the pool is deep here? So like when Pastor Dave's away, things still happen, right? You know, everything we do here, there's nobody that's indispensable in this place. We're all a team, and we all have a part to play in that team. And it's wonderful that the team runs deep. And so we're thankful for that. We're thankful for the giftedness that our people have. But I'm thankful that we don't do it alone. We have a great team of people. And even pastoring and speaking on Sunday mornings, we have people who are very qualified to do that. So we're thankful for that. So anyhow, it's good to be back, though, because I want to preach part two of my message from 2 weeks ago. And as we look at our theme for this year is through 22. And so we'll be talking about that a little differently through the year and different things and how we're working through things and how God is bringing us through. And January, we were looking at growing through 22. And so we want to set ourselves up for that. So it's that time of year that, at least at my house, I get those awesome magazines and catalogs in the mail from different seed companies. Anybody else get them? Wow. Okay, there's like a handful of you. All right, what's that? Yeah, sure, absolutely. Yes, I'll give you one. Yeah, because when they send you one, they send you three or four. You know what I'm saying, right? How many of you ever noticed that when you get like a thing in the mail, right? And we do get our mail about three times at our house a week up where I live. So and we're thankful for those three times that it actually comes, but. The seed catalogs are great because even if you're not going to necessarily plant anything from it, it's nice to look through because it gives you something to look forward to, like spring, right? Because you go outside, you're not looking at tomatoes growing right now. You know, they're not doing too well. They'd be frozen tomatoes this morning, I suppose, if they were there. So it's wonderful to sort of look forward to the time that's coming. And so we want to look forward to growing through this year as well. All right, and so 2 weeks ago we did the G and the R, the GR of grow, and today we're going to do the OW of grow. All right, so it's not painful though, okay, but it's the OW. So we did say that we wanted to be people who sort of functioned in gratitude. Do we want to make sure that gratitude is one of those things that's our hallmark? And so we want to think about thanking people, being thankful in what we do, being people of gratitude in our time, in our energy, in our thoughts, in our compliments, in our finances, in all those things. We're people of gratitude. And then we also wanted to be rooted in Christ. And Mary shared her testimony on that day about how the Lord has rooted her and how she's come over the past 4 years from someone who was far from God, really far from God, really. You know, she thought she was following God, but wasn't. And in those past 4 years, she's been rooted in the Lord. And so that's awesome. Today, we're talking about overcoming. And as I look around this room, it's amazing because, man, I see some people who have overcome some incredible things. And I think it's awesome. Like Jim, you're starting that the group on Wednesday nights, you know, the Celebrate Recovery. It's really about overcoming. And, I mean, you two guys, my gosh, what you guys have overcome. It's amazing. And not just the two of you, but there's so many in this room that have overcome. And not just addictions, but other things too. And let's face it, there's no addiction like sin, right? I mean, it is addicting. And we all have to overcome it. But then there are some who that sin comes out and it comes into something that is just so deadly and so diabolical, you know? So we thank God. I thank God for our NA group on Monday nights, for the AA groups on Tuesday night and Thursday night. But I am so thankful, Jim, that you started the group for Celebrate Recovery, because those 12-step programs are great, but man, you've got to, you can't point them to Jesus, it's not complete, you know, and so thank God for that. And so let's look at this idea of overcoming. So before we get there, go back with me to the beginning. And so if we go to the beginning, right? In the beginning, God comes in and he, and you might say, well, I believe in the Big Bang. Fine, that's no big deal, whatever. God takes nothing and creates something out of nothing, right? And so even, let's say the Big Bang is how he did it. So like they say, there is this mass of something in the middle of nothing that all of a sudden exploded. But who put that thing there? I mean, nothing can never produce nothing, all right? Nothing doesn't make anything. And so God is the one who sort of, however the universe was created, however it was, I don't really know. All I know is that God did it. And so he creates this incredible thing, and there's parts of the universe that we cannot even see yet. They're still discovering. There's this new telescope up there, and they're looking at parts of the universe that we haven't even seen, and all of a sudden they're discovering that as big as we think we know, we only know like 5 or 10% of the universe. That's how big it is. It's beyond, I mean, it's bigger than Texas. It's bigger than Alaska. It's massive. It's huge. And God's the one who made this all. And then he takes and he places special attention. And there are people, well, Pastor Dave, don't you think that there are other planets in the universe, that there could be life? I don't know if there is. It's big. I haven't been through all of it yet. You know? But I do know that there's life here. Sometimes it's intelligent, right? And so there's life here. And so God takes and he really focuses so much attention on this one spot in all of the cosmos. And it's called Earth. And could he have done it in other spots? He's God. He can do what he wants to do. It's not for me to even, that'll be one of the questions I'll ask him after I've been with him for 1,000 years or so, you know, when I get around to it. So the reality is, man, he takes all this attention and he places this thing of life in the middle of just even the solar system we're in that is just so, there's no life. And then all of a sudden there's this place where life just explodes. And then he looks at it and he says, it is perfect. I mean, think about that, right? I mean, I just saw some pictures this week that somebody had, they took their telescope up on 3 different clear nights and they shined it right up through Orion, and there's all these pictures of these nebulae up there, the nebula, just beautiful, unbelievable. I mean, the heavens are spectacular. Last night when I crawled into bed, Laura and I crawled into bed, and in our window, the moon was shining through our window. Waning gibbous, whatever. And it's shining through a window. I actually put my glasses back on to look at it because I saw this white blob in my window. And I'm like, that's the moon. And I had to put my glasses back on to actually see. It was pretty. It was beautiful. You know, listen, the world that we have is a beautiful place, right? And so I said to myself, what a wonderful world. I see trees of green, red roses too. you know what I'm saying. You with me, right? All right? In Genesis chapter 1, God is, you know, he's going through this creation stuff in verse 14. And listen to this as well. Listen, the Bible is not a history book. It's not a science book, but it has science in it. And so there is, well, I can't trust the Bible because it's not a science book. Well, don't trust your science books either because they change, right? But the Bible declares some things. And so listen, the perspective that the Bible has is an earth perspective. Unless there are a few spots where God takes the person up into heaven, the whole perspective in the Bible is from an earth perspective. And so everything you see in the Bible is from being right here on terra firma. And so that's the perspective that it gives. And so when you read Genesis chapter 1, you've got to remember it's written from a perspective of somebody who's an eyewitness on this planet. And so things look a little different that way. All right, verse 14. God said, let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years. And let them be lights in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth. And it was so. God made two lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. And so we know that he's talking about the sun and the moon, right? Now, of course, the moon doesn't give any light, right? It just reflects light. Now, the stars give light, you know. And so Laura and I, last year, we were up at Cherry Springs Astronomy Park and got to look at the Milky Way. I haven't seen the Milky Way in years, you know. I live in the country, but it's still hard to see. But, man, it's just so many stars. It's unbelievable, right? And so God said, listen, those things are there to help sort of set the days, the seasons on the earth, you know. There's nothing wrong with them, all right? He also made the stars. God set them in the vault of the sky to give light in the earth, and God, all right, and to govern the day and the night and to separate light from darkness, and God saw that it was good. And then verse 31 says, God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning the sixth day. And so really, the reality is this. Listen, God made everything. Did he make it in six literal days? Did he make it in you know, six eons? Whatever the case, listen, the Bible's not specific about that. And so, whatever you believe is fine, because it doesn't affect your faith in that, you know? And so, but the reality is, listen, God looks at all this stuff that he made, and he says, it's good. It is complete. It is perfect. It is awesome. That there is order in what he made, all right? And so now there's this theory that we have, and again, I don't want to sound like a science teacher, but there's a theory of entropy. Anybody know what the theory of entropy is? In other words, basically what it says is that the natural order of everything is disorder. The natural order of everything is disorder. And so you know that to be the case because if you went and you totally dusted and cleaned a room in your house, and even if you shut the door and came back in a month, guess what that room would be? Dusty and dirty, right? Now, if you have children, as soon as you clean it, it is dirty again. All right? And so that's just the norm. It is how things happen on this earth, okay? So there's this theory that, listen, the natural order of things is disorder. But I want you to understand that there is a God of order that is over us. And so even the disorder that we have, the true state of the universe, is order, not disorder. The true state of the universe is order, not disorder. You might say, well, no, Pastor Dave, you don't understand. There's a lot of disorder going on. You're right, there is, because in Genesis chapter 3, mankind sinned and introduced sin, and it sort of upset everything. But I want you to understand that there's going to come a day when God will restore order even in this creation. There's going to come a time when the natural order of things is going to be order, not disorder. And that is where our faith takes us, to the fact that there's something beyond this existence that we have right here and right now. Chaos in the universe is rebellion against God's created order. In the fullness of time, all chaos will be brought into good order. And so understand that, just as I don't want to get ahead of myself, but anyway, God is going to restore order even in this world. And listen, it's never needed more order than it has now. We are at the most disordered time in our world's history. I mean, did you guys see the volcanic explosion that took place in Tonga? Unbelievable. And so this year, there's going to be more of these things happening, more and more of these things happening, as we see that even the earth just seems that it's groaning and anticipating the coming of the Messiah. It's wanting to give birth to the Messiah once again, and he is coming back, all right? So God is not a God of disorder. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, it says that he's not a God of disorder, but a God of peace. And peace needs completeness. It's a place of rest. And that's who God is, all right? And remember, in Galatians chapter 4, even in the fullness of time, God is going to restore order to this world. In the fullness of time, in Galatians chapter 4, it says that God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption as sonship. So, listen, there was a fullness of time, and God waits. It's amazing. If you study this, like, there was a time when the children of Israel couldn't go into the land of Israel because God said the iniquity of the Amorites is not fulfilled yet. There is a set time that God has for things to take place in this world. And sometimes we go through that and we lose sight of the big picture, that God is still the one who is in control in this world, and he's still the one who's on the throne. See, when you look at your life and your life seems like it's just tossed upside down, you're like, where is God? I want you to know God is there. He's with you in the midst of that. And he has a plan for you to get out of the disorder and into the order. And that order will come in the right time, at the right time. And so let's talk about overcoming. And so what is it that you have to overcome? And so we think of overcoming things. We think of obstacles. And so it always makes me think back to when I studied the classics, the Greek classics. And so there was the story of Hercules, okay? And so, and of course, these things are mythological, but they were bigger than life to people of that day. So there was Hercules. And then, of course, one of my favorites, Achilles. Achilles was a great warrior. Achilles was just this incredible warrior that could not be, he could not be stopped because he was a demigod. Much, if you don't know what that is, it's like Maui. All right? So he's a demigod. In other words, he has his mother or father, one of them was a god, and his other parent was a mortal. And so that's what a demigod is. And so Maui was a demigod. And just so you know, Maui didn't do any of the things he says he did. He didn't, you know, those of you, you know what I'm talking about? All right. He didn't do any of those things that he said he did, okay? All right. So you don't have to say thank you to him for anything because he didn't do anything. All right. What can I say except he's not welcome? He's not welcome, all right, because he didn't do anything. All right. And so Achilles was the same way. Achilles, one parent was a god, one parent was a human. And not only was Achilles unable to be beaten in, he also had a shield that was made for him by Hephaestus, who forged this shield for him, and it could not be broached by anything. But of course, he ends up getting struck down by some guy from a distance with an arrow by the name of Paris, not the greatest warrior in the world, all right, because his heel was the only spot that he was weak, all right? Now, those guys were bad. They were big and bad. But I think the greatest demigod obstacle of all time was Obstacles. Obstacles. There's a picture of Obstacles on your handout. I don't have it here on the projector, but there's a picture of Obstacles on your handout. And let me tell you, this is the biggest demigod that I have to fight against. Now, in English, we don't call them Obstacles. We call them obstacles. Obstacles. You got it. Okay, all right, you got it. Okay, so it's not a Greek god at all. It's just things that come against us, all right? It's obstacles, okay? It has nothing to do with Greek mythology. I'm just toying with you, all right? So it's not a Greek god at all. It's just obstacles. Obstacles in our life sometimes seem bigger than life. They seem like they are demigods. They seem like they're supernatural, right? But an obstacle is just an opportunity for God to show his power. An obstacle is just an opportunity for you to overcome. And so don't think it's a demigod. Don't think it's something supernatural. Just see it as just something God is giving you to overcome. And just overcome it. You know, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, John writes and he says, don't love the world or anything in the world. Now listen, he's not saying, you know, hate. The world is beautiful, even right now. I mean, the sun has come out. It's peaked out today. There's more than one digit of temperature, so it's nice, right? You know, it's not like, you know, 5 degrees out anymore. There's double digits in temperatures. It's awesome. It's a beautiful day today. The world is beautiful. So he's not saying hate the world, all right? But he does say this, don't love the world or anything in the world. He's talking about this, the ways of the world. You know, the system of the world, the thought processes of the world, all right? Don't love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, and so here it is. This is what he's talking about. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. The worldless desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. So remember, God creates everything at the beginning, and there's no disorder. There's nothing out of place. There's nothing bad. Everything is good. He looks at it all, and he says, it is good. And then sin enters, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. It's what Adam and Eve were tempted with. It's what Jesus was tempted with at his temptation, which he withstood. And so we can withstand it as well. Why? Because we have his power in us now. We're no longer, our parent is not Adam and Eve. We are now children of a heavenly parent. Jesus is our brother. He's the one who gives us life. And so this idea that the world has its tentacles into us, we can overcome the world, you know? And the world is beautiful. I remember watching the TV show Lost. Anybody like the TV show Lost? All right, so some of you do. That's good. So I would see, like, I would see the scenes there when they were on the beach, and I'm like, man, they have to. That has to be computer generated. There's no way that something looks like that, not in real life. It's just too beautiful. I mean, I've been all around Lackawanna County. I've never seen that. I've been to Luzerne County, Susquehanna County, Wayne County, and I mean, I've just. It does not look like the North Shore of Oahu. But then when I actually was there at the North Shore of Oahu, I was like, this is how it looks. It's unbelievable. Better than Dixon City. Better than Carbondale. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And so there are things in this world that are just so gorgeous, absolutely. Just last night, the moon. Last night when we were walking into that hockey game, which was one of the most exciting hockey games I've ever been to. I mean, the Penguins didn't play until the third period, you know, but then they gave us a show. It was wonderful, you know. But the sunset, you know, we're in Wilkes-Barre. No offense, you who are watching from Wilkes-Barre. You know... The sunset, when we were walking in, was gorgeous. And then, as usual, so what did we do? We got there. There was hardly any cars there. And so, like, we're not even paying attention to where we parked. So it took me about, what, 5-7 minutes to find my car? I mean, yeah. What's that about my age? Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, I was not alone on that. All right, that's good. Normally, I take a picture of the sign that we were by, you know, but anyway. In John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus tells us, listen, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. And so, listen, there's this order now in this world of disorder. He's saying you can have peace. And the word peace is not just like, oh, hey, I'm thinking good thoughts about you. It means literally that there's this completeness that rests on us. And Jesus says we can have peace in this world. You will have trouble, but take heart. I've overcome the world. So listen, Jesus is an overcomer. So obstacles is nothing to Jesus. Obstacles falls immediately to Jesus, all right? In 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, John goes on and he says, everyone born of God overcomes the world. Oh, wait. So not only is Jesus an overcomer, but we are overcomers. Why? It says this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. And so God works through us and gives us victory over obstacles through our faith. And he works through us in faith in ways that we can't work through on ourselves. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57, it says, but thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So listen, you know, the Penguins didn't play for the first two periods last night. You know, and let me just say this. You know, I'm sitting up there, you know, and I'm like, come on. I mean, they passed the puck to you, just hit the puck. Right? And isn't it easy to just say how bad? Listen, if I was on skates with the stick last night, I mean, the only job I could have done there last night was rolling out the carpet for the twirlers to come out. All right? And maybe I could have skated with the garbage can that they went around with to, like, sort of scrape the extra ice that was there. I might have been able to do that because I'm terrible at ice skating. But yet when I'm up there, I'm sitting there thinking, like, come on, how'd you miss that pass? Well, let me tell you, I'd like to see some. Well, maybe Jonathan and William Davis could do it. But, I mean, the rest of us, probably we would stink the place out, okay? We would stink. And it's so easy to just point a finger at someone else when they're doing something when you're sitting on your rear end, isn't it, though? Right? You know what I mean? But I was just laughing at myself thinking that way towards him. I'm like, You know, it's sort of like with everything else. Like, the quarterback, you know, makes a bad pass, and you're like, what is wrong with him? I would do that. No, you wouldn't. No, you would not. You would not. And if one of those guys hits you, we'd be talking to a different person. All right? Because you would be seeing little stars going around your head, okay? All right? The blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. This is a beautiful thing, this overcoming thing in Revelation chapter 12. Verse 10, then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now this is coming down the road. This is in the future, but it's in the near future, guys, right? Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah, for the accuser of our brothers and sisters who accuses them before our God day and night has been hurled down. So there's going to come a time when God is going to say enough to Satan, enough of your lies. Now, when he gets down here, he's going to be ticked. All right? It's going to be a hot time in the old town when he comes. But he's not, it's not yet. But that great tribulation is going to come someday. What does it say, verse 11? They triumphed over him even in that time, even in the time of the great tribulation that we are not in yet. All right? Even in that time, what does it say? They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And so listen, I don't care what you're going through today. Guess what? Your testimony and Jesus' blood can overcome it. Your testimony and Jesus' blood can overcome it. And your testimony is simply stating what you have declared in your life, what you have done in your life. And so that song we sang before, man, it's full of this idea of overcoming. Why? Because God's declared it. We believe it. We say it. That settles it. That's our testimony. It's we believe those things that his word teaches. When we understand them and we begin to apply them in our lives, man, we overcome. Why? Because the blood of the Lamb is already there. It's ready to take anything out. It's just your testimony's got to catch up to it. When it does, when you begin to move in faith, all of a sudden, bam, man, obstacles fall. Miracles happen. All right? In Romans chapter 8, Paul, in this really, this is the pinnacle of Pauline theology. In Romans chapter 8, Romans is the book of theology in the New Testament, the largest book. Romans chapter 8 is like the pinnacle of this this idea that this is what God is going to do in and through people. And so Romans chapter 8 ends with these verses, and I share these almost at every funeral that I do. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? And I think these are out of the NLT. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? Because, I mean, come on. Those are the questions that you ask when obstacles come against you. Well, God doesn't love me. I mean, I shouldn't have these things go wrong. If God loves me, why would these things happen to me? Well, because it happens to everybody. But God has given you the ability to overcome it. So the poor people in the world, they have this stuff happen to them. They have nowhere to turn. You have the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony to overcome. All right? As the scriptures say, for your sake we're killed every day. We're being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory. Everybody say overwhelming victory. Overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. Man, that is just so much power right there. And I am convinced. And so Paul is saying, listen, Paul is sharing his amen here. He says, I am convinced. This is my testimony. The Apostle Paul, I've lived through this. I've got the blood of the Lamb. Here's what I say. And those words still stir people today. I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Man, that is overcoming. That is something that will transform a life. That is something that will change your situation because Jesus is there. Now it goes on. Paul tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 6 to fight the good. This is so important because our faith gets derailed because we've got the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony sometimes is tainted because we don't fight the good fight. We fight the bad fight. And Paul says this, fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you were made, when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Listen, I want to tell you this. Your lips will sacrifice your victory so many times. Your words will sacrifice your victory time after time. And so if you have a you have a job and you work by yourself and you're going through your thoughts all day, that's great. If you have a job and you get to talk to other people, be careful how you talk. Be careful what you listen to. Because, like, listen, those people at your place of work, they don't need to know the bad things that are going on. You better share good things with them. You better share faith with those people, you know? And then, listen, don't get dragged into the drama that is the stuff of this world. I'm not saying ignore what they're talking about, but always offer them the solution. The solution is the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. That's what they need. They're in a spot they're in because they don't know either of those two things, or maybe only one of the two. Maybe they know about Jesus, but, man, they're not living it out. So your goal is to get them, is to bring them to a place, to get them to step up into their faith, you know? So don't fight the bad fight. You know what the bad fight is too? It's being all political. Let me just say that. Because, I mean, you know, we're sort of at this calm before the storm that's coming this year. There's an election coming. And the governor is going to be elected. And we're voting on a senator. And then there's a bunch of other things being voted on too. So be careful how much you get into that. Because whatever politics touch, it kills. Doesn't it? You know what I'm saying? And so listen, in this, just so you know, in this room, there are people who are Republicans and there are people who are Democrats. And so what I'd like you to do is make sure you leave the donkey or the elephant at the door. Because I've been around donkeys and elephants, they stink. And they don't care where they drop their stuff. So just tie them out there and come in here, and we're going to talk about the lamb, all right, not the donkey or the elephant, okay, all right? So don't fight. I'm not saying don't get involved in politics. Like Mary ran for office here countywide. She was like the highest vote getter at that time for the, you know, for a Republican for, you know, in the entire election thing. That's, so listen, if Mary's going to get involved, that's awesome. If you want to support Mary, I support Mary. That's awesome. Sarah Cruz, she's a school director. She's part of our church, you know, and so you're going to get involved in something, go get involved. But don't fight a bad fight. Don't get into what the other politicians are getting into, you know. And thank God, Mary, you kept things clean. You know, it would have been easy to dish the dirt. Oh, the one guy you were running against was a pretty good guy, right? And you even said that. So, hey, listen, don't fight the bad fight. You know who the bad fight is, too? When you start fighting your family.
Oh, yeah.
That's a bad fight. No one wins when you fight your family. You know what else? It's a bad fight when you fight your family of God. Yeah. Let me just say that. All right? It's easy. It's so easy to sit in the stands and say how bad the people are doing down there when you could not do anything they're doing. You know what I'm saying? You know, I mean, how many of you have seen a football game and you're like, I can't believe they dropped that pass? Right? John, you played football. Yeah. I mean, they have three guys hanging on their body and they dropped the pass. What's wrong with them? You know, I mean, somebody bumps into you, you're like, oh. I remember the one time I was playing football. Oh, the one time I was playing football, Ron Kraftavich tackled me and broke my ankle. I remember that, Ron. That's it. You remember that, Ron? It's the snap was so loud. And I'm like, oh, I think my ankle's broken. So I actually stopped playing. And then I drove my stick shift car home and showered. And then drove my stick shift car to the hospital. You know what I won't do now? I'm not going to play football. That is not on my bucket list. I've already done that. Right? Yeah. Yeah, right. I mean, I'll throw the pass around. So one of the weeks I was back with the students, and so, like, they're playing in the fellowship hall, so I got a football. I'm starting to throw a football around, you know, and so I'm throwing the football. Man, we're having a great time. I'm catching the football, and we're throwing it, and the next day I woke up, and my hands are like, what? I was feeling things that I never felt before. What's that 6-0 thing? Anyway, fight the good fight. Fight the good fight. Hey, listen, John. 1 John 4:4 says, "You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." Don't forget that. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. So when the devil comes against you and says you're weak, it doesn't matter what the devil says. You've got the power of God in you. You've got something in you that will change. And listen, the answer to that is Jesus. He's the one who's in you. And listen, if the devil comes against you, or your family comes against you, or someone else comes against you, you let them know, Jesus is in me. Yeah, that's the way I used to be, but I'm not that way anymore. I'm a different person today because there's something different in me. It's Jesus. And I know sometimes we get accused of always, you know, the answer to everything is Jesus. It's like, what's the answer in the Royal Ranger quiz? Jesus. I mean, one time we were doing Bible quiz, and Laura was the coach of the one team, and they asked this question. It was one of the Gospels that we were doing, Matthew maybe, and so the question came up. Question for 10 points. Who's the mother of Jesus? All 6 quizzers just sat there like, is this a trick question? Nobody buzzes in. Laura goes, I like to call it timeout. She goes to the back of the quizzer's heads and goes, whack, whack, whack. I mean, sometimes Jesus is the answer, okay? We know he's the answer in the big... It's like the pastor that went down to the children's church. You know, he goes to the children's church and he's like... So he's doing an illustration, and he's trying to do an illustration about a squirrel. And he goes, all right, boys and girls, you know we're going to talk about someone today who's special. And they live at your house, and like, they're tiny. Does anybody have a guess? And all the students are like, and he goes, and he's gray, and he likes nuts. Does anybody know? And the students are like, and he goes, he has like a bushy tail. And he jumps from tree to tree. Does anybody know who it is? And the little boy raises his hand and he goes, well, Pastor, it sure sounds like a squirrel, but I know the answer is Jesus. First John chapter 5, verse 5 tells us, who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Listen, that's you. That's every one of you. That is you. Every one of you. So who's the one who overcomes the world? Put your hand up. It's you. You're the one who overcomes the world. Don't forget that. And then finally, W. I won't take so much time on W. O was fun. In walking, we want to walk by faith. It says we walk by faith, not by sight. And so, listen, we have to remember, it isn't always what we see that matters. It isn't always what we perceive that matters, but we have to be people of faith, believing things by faith, taking them by faith, walking in faith. And faith is when you don't see it. That's when it's faith, you know? And so just live that way as much as you can, you know? And we learn to trust God. The more you trust him. And so how does our faith grow? Our faith grows by reading the Word of God. We need to do that. You know, we fill ourselves with the Word of God, and that helps our faith grow. We learn to trust him as well. Proverbs 3 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll make straight your paths, right? The Word illuminates our path as well. His Word's a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, Psalm 119 tells us. Deuteronomy 5:33 says to walk as he's commanded you. And so, listen, a lot of times, and I get this, there's so many people that they, you know, they grew up in faith, or they experienced faith at one time, and then they sort of let it go, and they just do their own thing, and then they wonder, like, why is my life so screwed up? But your life's so screwed up because you're not walking in his ways anymore. I mean, it isn't enough to just know. You might say, well, you know, Pastor Dave, it's all just grace. I'm saved by grace. Yeah, you are. There's a lot of people who are saved by grace whose lives are an utter mess because they're not walking in faith. And so what you do now is your responsibility. Jesus' responsibility is to give you grace. And that's given to you. So we're saved. Yeah, our sins are no longer there. But guess what? We still have to pay the price for the stuff we do in our lives. Well, I'm covered by grace, so I can go get drunk. Well, yeah, maybe you can. You're not going to lose your salvation. But guess what? You're going to get yourself in a world of trouble. And then don't say, Jesus, where were you? Unfortunately, he was with you at the bar. You know what I'm saying? He was with you saying, hey, come on, you're better than this. You don't need to stick that needle in your arm. You're better than this. You don't need to do that. You don't need to watch that. You don't need to be with that person. You're better than this. He didn't leave you. Well, all I need is his grace. Well, your life is going to be a mess. You got to be able to walk straight, too. You got to walk in his ways. You know, and then don't, I love it. People, you know, their life's a mess and they're looking for somebody to blame. Guess who's to blame when your life is a mess? You. All right? It ain't your mommy or your daddy. It is not your pastor. All right? It is not your brother or sister. It's you. Because you haven't walked straight. When you walk straight, it's amazing. You know, those promises in Deuteronomy, it's amazing. The promises of blessing and cursing that are in there in Deuteronomy. You read them, it's just mind-blowing. But Deuteronomy 5:33, you shall walk all in the way the Lord your God commanded you, that you may live, and that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land that you possess. Those promises are there if we walk. And how do we walk? We walk according to Micah chapter 6. He has told you, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and love kindness and walk humbly with your God. So we do justly towards the people around us. We do seek justice in this world, right? And we're kind to people and we're humble before God. And it's amazing. I had a guy one time said to me when I was youth pastor here, I served under Pastor Nick, and remember, keep praying for Nancy Piscatelli, you know, as she continues to go through this. Keep her in your prayers. Pastor Nick was a great pastor, a great man. I love serving under him. I'd still serve under him today if he was here. You know what I mean? So someone said to me one time, they go, well, I like this man. He was a good man from our church. He's gone home to be with the Lord since then. But his life was sort of a mess. And he said to me, you know, Pastor Dave, I know more about the Bible than Pastor Nick. And so I said, well, why aren't you doing what Pastor Nick does? I mean, you know, if you could do better than Pastor Nick, maybe you should be a pastor. We have some open churches. I'll work on something with you. I mean, right now, I mean, Pastor John Ciccioni, he's preaching up in Tawanda today because that's an open church right now. He's up there preaching, and Johnny Jackson will be going up there in a couple weeks to preach as well. So, I mean, hey, if you think you could be a pastor, let's talk turkey. Go get your courses, you know, and become a pastor. Otherwise, I didn't say that. I mean, Pastor Nick was like the humblest guy, you know, and to say that about him, that's why I said to him, why aren't you doing what he does, you know? Whatever. Knowledge puffs up, right? You can even be knowledgeable about the Bible and it can puff you up, right? There's a lot. I was at a meeting this week down at St. Peter's. Some of those people probably know the Bible better than me. Whatever. I'm going to walk humbly as much as I can. And then walk in good works. Ephesians 2:10. Remember this, guys. Listen, God's called you. He's saved you and he's called you for a purpose and a reason. And so we are his workmanship. I mean, get this. The Message translation there says you're his masterpiece. I mean, you're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I love it when people say, I don't need to do anything. It's all Jesus. Well, listen, you're lazy. God's called you to do things for him, you know? And so just get busy. And then finally, walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5:16, when I say walk in the Spirit, you won't gratify the desires of the flesh. May we walk in the Spirit more through 2022. You know, may that be the case for us. Bow your heads, close your eyes with me as we transition out of here. In just a moment, you'll go your separate ways. And then come back tonight at 6 o'clock for some great pasta. It's going to be a red sauce with meat and a white sauce. Johnny's fish frying. Some incredible desserts. I heard that there was some pastor that made brownies. Come back tonight. But listen, before we go, you know, maybe you say, you know what, Pastor Dave, I haven't really felt like an overcomer. I've sort of felt like I've been overcome by this world. Maybe you'd say, Pastor Dave, I've not really been walking like I should be walking. But man, I want to be able to grow through 2022. I want to be a person of gratitude. I want to be able to be thankful to God for the things he's done. I don't want it to be all about me all the time. I want to be a person who lives in gratitude, and I want to be rooted in the word of God. I want to be overcoming through this year. I want to be walking in faith this year. And so, Pastor Dave, I need special prayer right now because I just feel like maybe I'm not overcoming as I should. I'm not walking as I should. I'm not in gratitude like I need to be. I'm not rooted as I should be. But man, I'll tell you what, this day, begin to make a difference in those things. So if you need special prayer for that, raise your hand up today. Raise it up. Amen. Amen. Jesus, all around this room, Lord, you see the hands that were up. Lord, I know, Holy Spirit, that you have been faithful to move on people right now. That, Lord, you're challenging people's hearts. You're challenging where they are right now because, Lord, there's always more in you. There's always a higher plane that you're calling us to. There's a deep that calls out to deep in us. And so right now, Holy Spirit, I know that you're calling out your people to go from deep to deep. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help them. Help them to get, you've already given them your grace. They don't need your forgiveness. Your grace is covering them. But, Lord, perhaps they need to be able to know what the Word of God says about them being an overcomer. Lord, help them to do a Bible study maybe that would just help them to understand more about what being an overcomer is. Lord, perhaps there are obstacles that are in their way that, Lord, they need to just sort of face those obstacles and look at them not as a possibility of defeat, but as an opportunity for the power of God to be exhibited in their lives. Lord, help them to be able to go and take those things head on and not be reactive about them, but be proactive and go against those things. Help them to walk in faith and in victory. And so, Lord, I pray a special blessing upon them. I pray that, Lord, as they pray, as they submit themselves to you, as they ask you for help, that Holy Spirit, you would just be ever present, ever helpful, even in greater ways. And Lord, perhaps there are things that we need to sort of turn away from. And so maybe we're not overcoming because, Lord, there are habits that we have that need to be done away with. Lord, I pray you would give them help and strength to turn from those things as well, those things that draw them from you, and then yield them to you so that, God, they can turn fully to you in a greater way in these days to come. Bless them and make them a blessing. Lord, help them to be overcomers in you. I know that, Jesus, according to your word, every single person in this room is an overcomer because they have you in them. And Jesus, you are the one who has overcome, and through us, Lord God, you show that out to be reality. So bless my brothers and sisters this day and help them to stand firm, strong, and tall in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Stand up, raise your hands. I want to bless you before we go. What an honor to be able to present the word of God to you today. It's been good to be in the Lord's house. Amen. Jesus, Lord, as these ones extend their hands, fill them now. Fill them with you. Lord, I pray for a spirit of overcoming. That, Lord, the obstacles that are in each of our ways, Lord, would become parts of testimony of what you have done in our lives. Lord, help us get to the other side. Lord, help us to get to a place where we see victory with our own eyes, but give us victory with eyes of faith to begin. And bless them and make them overcomers and a blessing to the people around them. Encourage them and fill them with you on this day. We thank you for your faithfulness to us. And we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you, folks. We'll see you tonight.